Uno, dos, tres, cuatro.
Why are you giving that to me? I don't need it.
No, you don't need that. I'm sorry.
What is on Mike's mind today? What is on Mike's mind today? It's really neato, so eat your burrito and find out just what's on his mind. What is on Mike's mind?
He's almost turned into a caricature. Thank you.
I think that's funny.
Who's being leveraged here?
Canton Hall and Deep Ellum and Von Lane Luxury Motor Coaches.
All right, you get your choice today, Corby.
All right.
A choice of a funny Benny Rooster 28 baseball story as relayed to us on the game today by Eric Nadell. Or the story of Knights in White Satin.
I mean, it's going to be either classic rock or baseball with you, so flip a coin.
Since I cribbed the poem from Knights in White Satin and used it in a junior English class and got an A as a piece of original composition, let's go with that. Let's go with Knights in White Satin.
You plagiarized Knights in White Satin?
Word for word. Breathe deep, the gathering gloom, watch lights fade from every room, the whole damn thing. And they were like, wow, that's really good. A. And it was a bit that we were all in on, all me and all my friends. I'm like, do you think? It was a woman. There's no way she's going to know what this is. Turned it in. A.
And she didn't know what it was, huh?
No. We're laughing.
All right, for those who don't know Knights in White Satin.
Hang on a second. What did your other buddies pick? Like, you shook me all night long?
No, we had a late night discussion, probably while the Moody Blues were on, of whether or not you could take that poem in there and turn it in as an original piece, and if anyone would know.
Well, had you gotten busted, you would have gotten a lot of trouble, right?
Probably. Whatever.
All right. But back to you, Mike.
All right. For those who may not know, Knights in White Satin is a song by the Moody Blues.
Being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Or I guess they were the other night.
And starting to get a good bit of buzz around them once again on account of this. We'll listen to a little bit of this if you don't mind here.
Knights in white satin.
Is this music?
Never reaching the end.
Barely.
Letters I've written, never meaning to send.
I don't know if this is their biggest hit, but it's certainly one of them.
This, Ride My Seesaw. That's another one that's big.
Question.
That's another big one for them. They were massive in the late 60s and early 70s. Not only were they massive, they were cosmic. And when they told us to breathe deep, we bought in.
Right.
Because they clearly knew something we did not. And they knew this because they were Brits, and they all lived in castles and
right.
stuff. And probably a couple of them had had experience with dragons. This was part of an album, Days of Future Past. And by the time...
Even the dumb title of the record is Days of Future Past.
Yes. It was all cosmic.
Yeah.
It was all... Much, much higher level than what we used to get on the radio over here. And it grabbed.
You bought in, didn't you?
We bought in, man. We bought in seriously.
You bought in because this was late night music.
That too.
Nothing screams of a big Weed J-O than listening to the Moody Blues at 2:30 in the morning.
Boy, you got that right. You got that right. And that happened on more occasions than I could possibly count. But the Moody Blues were a little bit different from all the other Brit bands of the time because most of the Brit bands were trying to make the segue from being an American R&B knockoff into something else, into finding their own way. And the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, some others had proven to be quite successful at this. The Moody Blues took a little bit of a different path. Instead of finding their own way into something a little bit more pop-oriented like the Beatles and the Rolling Stones did, they got a hold of a Mellotron. Now, a Mellotron is a keyboard instrument which duplicates the sounds of strings by using tape loops. It's a very big, very expensive.
Cumbersome.
Still?
Really?
As far as I know, very cumbersome instrument, which is also very fragile. And if you take it out on the road, you're going to have...
You need a Mellotron guy.
Yeah, you need more than one Mellotron guy because it takes more than one just to move the thing around.
I'm talking about a guy to fix the damn thing.
Yeah, and a tech, too.
John Paul Jones used it a lot.
Yeah, so did the Beatles. But the Moody Blues were the ones that popularized it. And in all of their albums, you could hear the Mellotron back there playing parts that would normally have been done by keyboards, horns, things like that, but it gave them their lush, orchestral, spacey sound that you hear in this. And Knights in White Satin was part of the Days of Future Past album. Days of Future Past, what it did was it tracked a day in the life of the average spare guy. The first part of it started off with morning. And then they got into afternoon, and the song from that was Tuesday Afternoon, which was...
Ooh, that was a big one.
One of the Moody Blues' big hits. And then they went into evening, and then night, which is where you heard Breathe Deep and Nights in White Satin.
Nights is not K-N-I, it's N-I?
No, it's N-I.
I always thought it was K-N-I.
It is not K-N-I.
That makes sense. Nights... In White Satin, not Nights, like the evening in White Satin.
You might think that.
I didn't smoke enough.
But Justin Hayward.
Or you smoked too much.
Nah, not enough. You couldn't smoke too much for this. Justin Hayward is the Moody Blues guitar player, singer, songwriter.
By the way.
Linchpin.
I feel that Justin, that name was ahead of its time. There couldn't have been a lot of Justins that were born in 1942 or whatever. Right? That doesn't sound like a name that I thought that's
more. Maybe it's a British thing.
Maybe it is.
I only knew a couple. Him and the noted Cajun comic Justin Wilson from back in the day. But yeah, he was the guy who wrote all their stuff. He was the singer. And he says he got the inspiration for Nights in White Satin. Because at the end of a relationship, Corby, when love had gone bad for him, right before that, the lady that he had parted ways with had given him a set of white satin sheets for what she thought would be their love bed.
Love bed? Is that an add-on for when you buy the love toilet?
Or the love sling?
Or the love sling? Sack? Remember those things?
Yeah. Those big bean bags?
Yeah, we had one up here.
Gross.
Yes, and he says that one day after they'd parted ways and he was wondering what to do next, he saw them and got to thinking about her and picked up his 12-string guitar, and the next thing you knew, Nights in White Satin was born.
I'm kind of bummed because I always have thought that this was some sort of medieval song. It always sounded that way to me. some weird, not something about a
no,
guy
it's a
that
love
had
song. The
cheats.
Chorus goes, "I love you, yes, I love you. Whoa,
I know,
whoa, I love you.
I know, I know." I didn't pay any attention to that crap.
You were just picturing some armored knight wearing white satin.
Yeah. Uh huh.
That doesn't make sense.
I actually was thinking of an armored knight on a horse, and the covering of the horse, you know, was this white satin. That's what I thought. Again, the weed went the wrong direction.
Well, the Moody Blues were on Decca Records back then, and they had a real tough time getting this thing recorded. Because the label did not like them. They did not like the song. They did not like anything about this trilogy through the day of the average spare guy thing, this conceptual piece they had done. What they did like about them, though, was that the band sounded really good. And they had a stereo sound system, which they were trying to sell to the masses over there in Britain. So they didn't cut them off of their label because they let them record this stuff because they could use it in the stores. Like people would come in looking at these stereos in the stores.
Right.
And they would tell their salespeople, play this. If these guys come in here and they want to listen to something, play this.
Don't be blown away, man. It sells itself.
Anyway, Tuesday Afternoon became a pretty big hit stateside.
Don't say a word, just let it play.
And that caused them to rethink the Moody Blues a little bit and keep them around and do a little bit more for them. And when it came out, they put it out back then, and it did okay. You know, it wasn't a big hit single or anything like that, but I will tell you that whenever I had the opportunity to listen to Knights in White Satin, the volume knob was cranked to the right.
Yeah. Did you ever see them?
Did.
They play at Memorial?
They did play at Memorial. In fact, they played there on a Sunday afternoon once.
In the afternoon?
Yes. Weird. And I saw them one other time there, too.
Good?
Yeah, they were okay. I liked them. Anyway, that was really about it for Knights in White Satin until 1972, and album rock radio started to prevail here in this great land of ours. And the Moody Blues started making their way onto playlists back then with certain DJs. At that time, DJs picked all their own stuff anyway. And they were a big hit with DJs. DJs dug the Moody Blues because they were deep, man.
Yeah.
Well, one night in Seattle, there was somebody on duty in one of these radio stations, and he decided that it was time for him to go somewhere and torch that Buell. He didn't want to do it in there because he felt he might get found out or something. So instead, he put on Knights in White Satin because Knights in White Satin took a few minutes. And he went outside in his car and torched up. And I guess that song had not been heard in a long time, because the next day, the program director called him on the phone and said, "Hey, did you play Knights in White Satin last night?" And he thought, "Oh my God, I've had it." He said, "Yeah, I did." He said, "Are you sure that's what it was?" He said, "Yeah, yeah, I'm sure that's what it was." He said, "Okay. We've been getting calls left and right about that here."
Really?
"And I'm going to add it into the playlist for everybody." And he did. And the next thing you know, they were playing it in Seattle. They were playing it in San Francisco, in Los Angeles, in San Diego. And all of a sudden, Knights in White Satin was smart enough to find itself on the singles chart in this great land of ours. And I believe it got into the top 10.
Three or four years after it was actually released,
it found its way into the top 10.
Wow.
It found itself smart enough to get into the top 10.
Stop it.
Did it make its way to Texas at that point?
Yes,
a reissue?
It did. I remember hearing it on Top 40 radio then. Whereas before, you could only hear it on KNUS.
Right.
And the other offshoots like that.
The Canis.
Yeah, the Canis. But That is the story of Knights in White Satin, and that was the Moody Blues' big springboard into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I wonder if they'll play that when they get inducted.
I'll bet they do.
They kind of have to, right?
Yeah.
I bet they do. What is that?
I bet they do.
I bet they do.
God. Any feel for what he was talking about there?
In Deep Element will not be Cane Rosso, Pepe and Mitos. I cannot believe Pepe and Mitos is still there.
Because they've already been done on
yes.
Triple D.
Or Twisted Root, because all those have been done in, on that show.
I bet they do. Oh, God.
What was that?
What a burp. I bet they do.
Damn it. That'll last forever.
See that on a Scott Baio after school special?
Well, at least you realized it's
instantly
impact.
I bet they do. Baseball. I bet they do.
All right.
Gotta go.